Let's turn to Genesis 40 and pick our story up in verse 1. So sometime after this, the cupbearer of the king of Egypt and his baker committed an offense against their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, in the prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard appointed Joseph to be with them, and he attended them. They continued for some time in custody. The chief cupbearer and the baker got themselves in some kind of trouble with Pharaoh and were sent to prison. The chief cupbearer was the person in charge of Pharaoh's wine and other drink and responsible for making sure Pharaoh's drink wasn't poisoned. The chief baker was the person in charge of the foods put before Pharaoh. These men held very important and trusted positions in Pharaoh's court. It's not stated in the text why they were thrown into prison. Perhaps an assassination attempt had been uncovered having to do with poison in Pharaoh's food or drink. While an investigation was conducted to determine the guilty party, they were both put in prison. Well, they just happened to be sent to the same prison Joseph was in and assigned to Joseph as their caretaker. We get the impression that although these two are in prison, they're being treated better than the average prisoner would be, with Joseph serving as their attendant in the prison. Verse 5, and one night they both dreamed, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, each his own dream, and each dream with its own interpretation. So one night, while in prison, the cupbearer and the baker each had a dream with some kind of meaning attached to them. Unfortunately, neither man knew what his dream meant, which disturbed him a great deal. When Joseph came to them in the morning, he saw that they were troubled. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in custody in his master's house, "Why are your faces downcast today?" Next morning, when Joseph comes to them, he immediately notices that there's something wrong. They're both very disturbed about something. He could tell by the looks on their faces, by the way they were both acting. So he asked them, "Why are your faces so downcast today?" I want us to notice Joseph's perception and sensitivity to these men. He could have simply been the typical duty-driven attendant and filled their bowls with morning mush and emptied their bedpans or whatever it was that his duty included. But instead, Joseph takes note of their countenance and he shows genuine concern for them. It takes extra effort to really see what's going on with another person. We have to become others-centered, and that takes effort. But that's exactly what the Lord wants us to do, to be others-centered rather than self-centered. Galatians 6:2, Paul wrote, "Bear or carry one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Carrying each other's burdens means to help each other through life. Galatians 5:14 says, "For the whole law is summed up in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Verse 8, they said to him, "We've had dreams, and there is no one to interpret them." And Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Please tell them to me." It was commonly believed in that culture that dreams had meanings behind them. And as a result, there were whole schools of dream interpreters providing this valuable service of dream interpretation to people in Egypt. Because the typical interpreter functioned on nothing more than intuition and wily experience, his interpretations were as often wrong as they were right. Joseph knew that the true interpretation of dreams belonged to God alone. He asked them then to share their dream with him, and perhaps God would reveal the meaning of their dreams. So the chief cupbearer told his dream to Joseph and said to him, "In my dream there was a vineyard before me, and on the vineyard there were three branches. As soon as it budded, its blossoms shot forth, and the clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into the Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand." Then Joseph said to him, "This is its interpretation. The three branches are 3 days. In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your office, and you shall place Pharaoh's cup in his hand as formerly when you were his cupbearer." So Joseph interprets the cupbearer's dream, and it's good news. He's going to get his job back, serving Pharaoh as cupbearer again, within 3 days. Then in verse 14, Joseph says, "Only remember me when it is well with you, and please do me the kindness to mention me to Pharaoh, and so get me out of this house or this prison. For I was indeed stolen out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also I have done nothing that should put me into this pit or this prison." So Joseph asks the cupbearer to remember him when he gets back to the palace and make an appeal to Pharaoh on his behalf to get him released from prison. He's an innocent man on all counts. Well, when the baker hears the interpretation that Joseph gives to the cupbearer's dream, he's excited to share his dream too. He can't wait to hear the good news. In verse 16, it says, "When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was favorable, he said to Joseph, 'I also had a dream. There were three cake baskets on my head, and in the uppermost basket there were all sorts of baked food for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating it out of the basket on my head.' And Joseph answered and said, 'This is its interpretation. The three baskets are 3 days. In 3 days Pharaoh will lift up your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat the flesh from you.'" Well, this is definitely not what the baker wanted to hear. But it also points out another aspect of Joseph's character, his honesty and his integrity. Giving people good news is something that we all like to do. It was a pleasure for Joseph to be able to tell the cupbearer the good news that within 3 days he was going to be released from prison and get his old job back. But when we have to give someone bad news, really bad news, we want to run the other way. We want to avoid the situation. We want to bend the truth and soften it so it won't be so painful. Maybe leave part of it out. We want to avoid confrontation when possible. Well, to Joseph's credit, he tells the man the truth, even though it's going to be very difficult for the man to hear it. Verse 20, "On the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, he made a feast for all his servants and lifted up the head of the chief cupbearer and the head of the chief baker among his servants. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him." The last verse of the chapter lands with a thud. "Yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him." It would have been very discouraging to realize that the person you helped get his life back fails to keep his commitment to you, helping you get your life back. But that's exactly what happened to Joseph. Once the cupbearer was comfortably back in the royal residence serving the Pharaoh again, he forgot Joseph. And why not? His life is smooth sailing again. The last thing on his mind is some Hebrew prisoner. So here's Joseph once more, faced with tremendous disappointment and heartbreak. This time, the golden ring of freedom is almost within his grasp, and then it's pulled away from him and thrown into the dustbin of forgetfulness. The words scrolling across his life read, "Please stand by." Genesis 41, verse 1. "After 2 whole years, Pharaoh dreamed that he was standing by the Nile, and behold, there came up out of the Nile 7 cows, attractive and plump. They fed in the reed grass, and behold, 7 other cows, ugly and thin, came up out of the Nile after them, and stood by the other cows on the bank of the Nile. And the ugly thin cows ate up the 7 attractive plump cows. And Pharaoh awoke, and he fell asleep and dreamed a second time. And behold, 7 ears of grain, plump and good, were growing on 1 stalk. And behold, after them sprouted 7 ears, thin and blighted by the east wind. And the thin ear swallowed up the 7 plump, full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. So in the morning his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all its wise men. Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none who could interpret them to Pharaoh. Then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, 'I remember my offenses today. When Pharaoh was angry with his servants and put me and the chief baker in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, we dreamed on the same night, he and I, each having a dream with its own interpretation. A young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. When we told him, he interpreted our dreams to us, giving an interpretation to each man according to his dream. And as he interpreted to us, so it came about. I was restored to my office, and the baker was hanged. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they quickly brought him out of the pit or the prison. And when he had shaved himself and changed his clothes, he came in before Pharaoh. So Joseph spends 2 more years in prison before the opportunity for freedom finally presents itself. Altogether, it's been 13 years from the time that Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers until the day that he's called to stand before Pharaoh. He became a slave when he was 17 years old. He's now 30 years old standing before Pharaoh. Our natural tendency is to focus on how lame it is that Joseph has had to suffer so much for so long. But if we step back from the story so we can see the larger picture, we realize that earlier attempts by the cupbearer to get Joseph released would probably have failed anyway. Those 2 additional years in prison were part of the Lord's plan. It put Joseph in the right place at the right time for God to use him in the life of the Pharaoh. And not only to help Pharaoh, but also to save his own family and the people of Egypt and provide a place for his people to live and thrive for many years to come. How do you think Joseph would have responded to the Lord if he had laid out the entire plan to Joseph in detail at the very beginning? When Joseph had those dreams when he was a teenager, how would he have responded if the Lord had told him that before his brothers and his parents would be bowing down to him, that he was going to be hated so much by his brothers that they would sell him into slavery? He would spend 13 years of his life as a slave and a prisoner in Egypt. If I'd been Joseph, I might have said, no thanks. I might have turned and run the other way as fast as I could. It's a good thing that the Lord doesn't show us the whole picture beforehand of the plans that he has for us. We might bail out before we get to the end. Instead, the Lord prepares us all along the way with each experience in our life so that we're ready for the next one and then the next one and then the next one. When we see it this way, we see how vitally important it is that we trust the Lord in every aspect of our life. We don't always know the purpose behind each event that takes place in our life, but we can be certain that there is a purpose behind it all. The Lord is preparing us and making us ready, and we can trust him to know what he's doing. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." Trust the Lord with your life. He really does know what he's doing with you.